The reading this morning is from Lamentations, chapter 3, starting at verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. And then a call to persevere in faith, and this is from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These are the words of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. There's something out there, then good. I'm going to say about that. We're looking this morning again about faithfulness as part of the series in the fruit of the Spirit. And I wonder, when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, or particularly faithfulness, what comes to mind? There was a few things that came to my mind when I thought about this, and one is actually an old story. It's a true story of a dog in Edinburgh called Greyfriars Bobby. He looked after his owner for a long time, then his owner died. And he thought that might be the end of the relationship between the dog and the owner. No. For 14 years, he went to the grave of that owner and stood guard over that grave for 14 years until the dog itself died. And if you go to Edinburgh, there's a statue there of that particular dog. There's a big argument which dog it was. Doesn't matter. But it was faithful, wasn't it? It was loyal to that owner, even beyond death itself. One of the things that came to my mind when I was thinking about faithfulness, because I like geography, is the Yellowstone National Park and a geyser there called Old Faithful. It's called Old Faithful because you can guarantee that between 40 minutes and 2 hours, it's going to erupt. And if you look on the net, you have photographs of it there, it really does erupt. It comes up. It's very faithful. It's reliable. It's loyal, as it would be, to that type of thing that takes place there. I looked at the dictionary definition of the word faithful. There are plenty of them, but these are the ones I picked up. Being steadfast in allegiance or affection. Loyal, a faithful friend, firm in adherence to promises or an observance of duty, conscientious. I remember writing those things on references for people, being conscientious, doing something like that, being faithful, being loyal. And I was thinking of examples in the scripture, and I want to think a few this morning, but particularly one that came to mind before I go any further. And actually the story in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, I know you're all going to know it straight away, aren't you, when I tell you that? All going to remember what it is. Now, I tell you what, no, you can see, there are people going, no. No, they're not. I tell you what the story's about. The story's about David. David had been exhausted. He'd been fighting the battle. He had his men around him. And he cried out, oh, that somebody would get me some water from the gate outside my city, Bethlehem. Three of his men heard that, And they risk their lives to go down through the enemy lines to get that water for their master, for their king, as it was going to be. He wouldn't drink it, by the way. That's another story. But it was a sense of loyalty there, wasn't there? There was faithfulness there. They were prepared to do whatever was necessary to follow their king, to do what their king wanted. And I was thinking about that, talking about faithfulness, about us in our relationship with God. I'm going to come to that in a moment. But what I think, first of all, is if we're talking about faithfulness, talking about the various things in the background, what about God's faithfulness? Which is why I asked those two readings to be read to us, Lamentations and Hebrews. Because in both of them, it talks about the faithfulness of God. And in fact, if you look through the Bible, there are 36 times when the faithfulness of God is actually mentioned. There's a few in the Old Testament, a few in the New Testament. I've already mentioned that one in Lamentations 3:23. And I'm so glad we sang that first hymn. Yes, it did take me back, Pete. It's a long time since I sang that hymn. But it is this, standing on the promises of God. New every morning, God's promises are renewed for each one of us. We have a new promise, if you like, from God every day. My mother-in-law used to have a little box. And each day, a little scroll she would take out of the box. And there's a promise of God. It was a verse of scripture for that day. And it's amazingly how that's appropriate for that particular day. Not really amazing, because God's a God of miracles. And God was the one who was encouraging my mother-in-law at that time. Because all the promises of God we read in 2 Corinthians are this. A yes and amen in Jesus. And we read in the New Testament, again in 1 Corinthians, in two parts of it there, God is faithful. One in the context of his calling, one in the context when we get temptation, that God will be there, faithful to bring us through. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about some of the promises of God, to try and encourage us to think about God's faithfulness. And there's only a few I want to think about. The first one is, we're never abandoned. I love to think about that. We're never deserted, we're never abandoned. Paul was deserted by all his friends. He's standing before Caesar's court. He doesn't accuse his friends of deserting him. He says this, yes, they all left me, but God was with me. He knew that God was with him. And because he knew that God was with him, he knew he was never going to be abandoned. I love that fact. That we're never going to be deserted. We're never going to be abandoned. We might walk away from God on occasions, but he never walks away from us. He's always there. And we need to remember that and hold on to that promise. I love the fact as well, we read in the scripture, that we're forever loved. Interesting, we sang that song, didn't we? You and you and you and you and you. God loves each one of us, a part of the big family of God. We're forever loved. Romans chapter 8 tells me very clearly that nothing in all creation will ever separate us from God's love. He forever loves us. Amen? Amen. God always loves us, and he will always continue to keep loving us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. If we trust in him, we get eternal life. And he tells us, I love you. I love you so much, I put my hands upon a cross to show my love for you. But not just that, we're also forever saved. When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we truly accept him as our Savior, we turn away from our sin, he comes into our hearts, into our lives, we become born again of the Spirit of God, we're guaranteed salvation. Because Jesus said this, those that come to me, I will never, ever cast aside. I'm glad to hear that. I'm so glad to hear that. That he will never cast us aside. We're forever saved. I believe that. Once saved, forever saved. Because we're held in the hands of God. John chapter 10 tells me this, that God holds me in his hand, and God the Son holds me in his hand as well. Like a vice. And he won't let us go. But also one other thing as well, we're adopted as the children of God. Do you know this morning, if you're a believer, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not because of any deserving part in your life. Not because you earn it. Not because you've done good things, but because of God's grace. Because of God's love. Because of God's mercy. That's where you are. And you're adopted as a child. I know I've shared here before, Roman law is different to maybe our law. In Roman law, if you were a natural child and you did things that the family did not like, you could be totally disowned. Sad to say. But if you were an adopted child, in other words, you were chosen and brought into the family, you could never, ever be disowned. You were always a child of the family. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we are children of the living God because of God's faithfulness. He says, that is who you are. Sometimes we sing that song, don't we? We sing the song about who God is, but who we are in Christ. It's not us, but Christ in us. And we're part of the family of God. Wonderful promises. All those things say something about the relationship we have with God because of God's faithfulness to us. And there's many more promises, by the way. That's just a few of them. I think one more I'll just share with you. And that's, can you be, are you afraid sometimes? Do things frighten you? Things worry you, concern you, something like that? There's a promise in the Bible that says, don't be afraid. Interestingly, it's 365 times in there as well. One for every day of the year. Sorry about the leap year, never mind. There's a promise for each one of us. We don't need to be afraid. That's our God. That's why we need to have a response to that. A response of faithfulness to him, because he is faithful to us. And I want to think very briefly about four C's, although one might be connected to the other as we get through. And the first one is, if we're talking about God being faithful to us, shouldn't we then be faithful back to him? Show our devotion back to him, our love back to him. After all, if he loves us, surely we should reflect that love back to him. We talked earlier on, I was prayed earlier on by Kath, about showing love to the church, the community, and our world. If we're going to do that, then first of all, we show commitment to God. We put God first, seeking God first. And as we do that, then we see other things taking place. And so, first of all, there should be a commitment to faithfulness. And if we're going to commit to faithfulness, one of the things we need to do is to count the cost. What does it mean to be a Christian? In this country, it doesn't cost a huge amount to be a Christian. Not really. Yes, we may get sneered at. We may get mocked. We may not get the promotions. We may not get the friendships we would hope to have. But in parts of the world today, we have brothers and sisters who are really suffering because they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they put him first. Not just in South Africa, southern parts of the Sahara, but other parts of the world as well, where there are lots of people who are suffering because they love the name of the Lord Jesus. They counted the cross, but they are being faithful to him. They're standing with him every day. And they've taken up the cross and they're following him. Now, sometimes we talk and say, well, taking up the cross, you know, it's a burden we have to bear. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is actually being prepared to name the name of Jesus and keep following him through thick and through thin. In the original, it thinks very much of those who went to crucifixion, who would pick up the cross. We see, don't we, the story of the Lord Jesus picking up the cross and going to the cross. Yes, Simon of Cyrene took it off him because by then he was very weak, physically weak. But it's a picture of going to death, as it would be, dying to self and living to Christ. That's the commitment. We need to do that. And when we do that, we also do one other thing. We don't look back. We read in Luke this, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for service in the kingdom of God. In other words, don't look back, but keep looking forward. Paul could say this, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on to win the prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Keeping forward, going forward. And the writer of the Hebrews tells us this, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. In other words, keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at him all the time. If we're counting the cost, not looking back, keep looking at him. I'm reminded of the story of Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. There they are, they're in prison. And they've been falsely accused. They've been beaten. They're in the worst part of the prison. There was no comforts whatsoever there. And there they are at midnight. Now I know what I might be doing at midnight if that was me. What's going on here, Lord? I can't understand this. After all, you told me to come here, and yeah, I'm in prison. But not doing that, are they? They're singing hymns to the one who loves them. They're looking up, looking beyond the circumstances, and they're looking to him. And as they're looking to him, they can see his faithfulness for them. And God restores them and lets them, and they're released. We need to keep looking up. We need to keep focusing on Jesus all the time. Now, I know that's said from the pulpit here regularly, but that's what we need to do. If we really want to be followers of Jesus, keep looking at him. They say that those who work in the financial industry, those who work in banks particularly, have to be able to tell the difference in notes. Now, I know today, cash is a thing that almost a thing of the past. It seems to be anyway. But in the past, if people had notes, they had to try and work out what was a counterfeit and what was real. How did they work it out, which was counterfeit and which was real? They focused upon the real all the time. They kept on looking at the real all the time. So when the counterfeit came, they knew it was a counterfeit. We need to keep looking at Jesus. As we keep looking at him, then we know what's counterfeit in this world and what's not. And we can be faithful to him because we're counting the cost and we're committed to him. But we need to be continuing in our faithfulness as well. Not just make that commitment once. It's an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. And that's why I asked for Hebrews chapter 10 to be read. Because in Hebrews chapter 10 then, it gives us some indications of how then we continue in our faith. And the one is attending worship. Let us keep on worshipping. Let's keep on meeting together, not stopping meeting together. Keeping worshipping, keeping praising. When do we come to worship? What do we come here for this morning? Now, it's a rhetorical question, by the way, okay? What have we come here this morning? Have we come to have the coffee afterwards? Have we come to have the picnic afterwards? Have we come to just to enjoy the singing? Have we come just to meet with our friends? Or have we come this morning to truly worship? Have we come this morning to truly meet with Jesus? To come into his presence? To fall down in his presence and to say that we love him? Is that why we've come this morning? I challenge my own heart by that, by the way. Why have I come this morning? Not because I'm speaking, but have I come really to worship with him? To actually have an encounter with Jesus? Another way of continuing now in faithfulness is actually getting into the Word of God. Getting into the Bible. This book here. It's not a dead book. It's a living book. It's the living letter of God's love to each one of us. And as we get into the study of the scriptures, we get to learn a little bit more about Jesus each day. The Bereans, we are told, were more noble than the other people around them. Why? Because they checked out the scriptures every day to see that what was being said was the truth. You do the same thing, please. What I'm saying, what anyone else says from here, check it out in the scriptures. See if it aligns with the scripture. If it does, then believe it and follow it and put it into practice. Because that's the important thing. Knowing what God wants for our lives, seeking his wisdom, seeking his guidance, seeking his person. But the most important thing of all, if we're going to continue in our faithfulness, we find in Philippians chapter 2, imitating Jesus. Being like him. That's a challenge, isn't it? We're told in 1 John this, if we name the name of Jesus, we're to live like him. And I can tell you now, I don't. I fail. I make mistakes. And I'm so glad that John also tells me too, if I come and confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me and to renew me. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to be imitators of Jesus. What was he like? He was humble in heart. He was a servant. He showed love. He showed grace. He showed mercy. He did not want his own way. He wanted God's way. Even when he went to the cross, he said, not my will, but your will be done. And what a price he paid on the cross for you and for me. How we should be imitating him day by day. Following him. Putting him first. I said, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it's quite amazing then what God does in our lives. But not only should we continue in our faith, and been faithful to him. Not only do we have that commitment, we've got to be concerned for others around us as well. Faith is not just personal. It's also to encourage others in their faith as well. We are part of a big family, as we talked about earlier on. We're part of the church family. And therefore we should be able to encourage one another. Back to Hebrews again then. Encourage those each day. Encourage those to come together to understand what God is saying to them. To understand that if they're feeling a bit weak at the moment, if they're struggling with things, if they're doubting things, people can come alongside them, put their arms around them and help them. And we need to do that today, don't we? Because there are many people who have doubts. Now, they don't doubt about God necessarily, but they doubt what God's going to do. They don't understand what God's doing in a certain situation. But believers can come alongside them and put their arm around them and show them that they're loved, show them that they're cared for, show them that somebody actually is interested in what's taking place, and encouraging them in their faith. Maybe giving examples from their own life. Sometimes just being quiet. Sometimes just being silent. Just being there to encourage those that are struggling, those that are weak. But also those that are strong in their faith, to keep encouraging them too. You know, we're told that we must never think we're really great, because we're not. We are but humble servants before God. But at the same time, there are some people who are able to see things happening in their lives. Things moving in their lives and in the lives around them. They should be encouraged. You know, they should be encouraged all the time. But not to think about it's through them, but what God has done through them. Those that are stronger in the faith still need to be encouraged. Now, I find it quite interesting that very often somebody who is strong in the faith, nothing said to them. They need encouragement too. They need to keep on, keeping on in the things of God. And of course, there are some that are wayward. There are some who have actually drifted away from God altogether. We who have a faith, who are faithful, need to come alongside. We read this, love covers a multitude of sins. To come alongside them and bring them back slowly. I can remember a gentleman who used to be a preacher. And he went away from God for many, many, many years. Towards the end of his life, things were not quite right for him. Brothers and sisters came alongside him and gently brought him back into the fold. He wasn't judged for what had done wrong. He wasn't ignored. He was loved. And he came back into the fold, as it would be. And he came back walking with God once again. Brothers and sisters, those that have drifted away, those who've lost maybe some faith, how we need to come alongside them and bring the wayward back. Bring them back into the things of God. And as we bring them back into the things of God, we'd be able to maybe worship together then. Being faithful together. And as I thought about faithfulness in that way, I think about the company of faithfulness as well. The company or the fellowship of believers. I've already talked about God's word. God's word is not a reference book. Okay? It's not a handbook for life. It's God's love letter to us. And how we need to understand what it says. Get to grips with it. And I have to tell you, there are bits in the Bible I don't understand at all. Probably never will until I get into heaven. But there are bits I do understand, and other bits that challenge me on many occasions. How much do I really love the Lord Jesus? How much do I really follow him? Remember Karl Barth was said last week, I think, that Karl Barth was asked a question, what's the greatest theology he's ever found? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How we need to get into the Bible then, to understand that, to encourage one another. Elijah thought he was the only one left after that great victory. And so God said to him, hang on a moment, I've got 7,000 more, by the way. You didn't know about those. We've got a church family that will support us, will help us through the difficult days. And we need to be witnessing people, don't we? We need to share our faith. You know, this is like a boat at the moment. We're going to get out of the boat and go into the streets outside there and tell the people about Jesus. Share our love of Jesus with them. They need to know it. Kath rightly prayed earlier on about the bad news that we see. But we've got the best news ever. God loves everybody. You just sang that. God cares for everybody. Let's share it. And being together like this, we can have the opportunity to encourage one another to go about witnessing, to go about evangelism. Not beating the head about the Bible, their heads with the Bible, but showing God's grace, showing God's love, acts of kindness, doing those things that encourage one another and encourage those to seek God for themselves, to come into that relationship. I talked about all these things this morning. I talked about commitment, continuing, if you like, concern, accompany about that. I want to say this. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, it means nothing. It's all words. We need the work of the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. Because we're not being faithful to the church. We're not being faithful to the leaders. We're not being faithful to one another. We're to be faithful to Jesus. We're to be faithful to Him and Him alone. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. To get rid of the stuff that needs to get rid of. To refine us. But also as well to empower us. To fill us. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes when we know the infilling of the Spirit as well. When the Spirit infills us, then the fruit of the Spirit is there. And I want to say this. There are 9 aspects. 1 fruit, 9 aspects. It's not 9 fruits. And I got love and you got joy and something got peace. They're all there. They're in each one of us. As we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. A.T. Pearson was a preacher in the 19th century. And he was American. And he would say this. God is not just going to be resident. He wants to be president. That's what needs to be true in each one of our lives. Not just king with a small k, but king with a big K. Ruling our lives. When that happens, we can be faithful. We're being faithful to Him and His calling upon our lives. The parable of the talents tells us this. That one was given 5 and he gave another 5. Because he was faithful in service. One was given 2 and he gave another 2. He was faithful in service. One hid it. And as a result, faced the consequences of that. But those other 2 who were faithful heard those words. Well done. You good. You faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. May that be true for each one of us when we meet the Jesus face to face. Because one day we will do so. Because we've been faithful in His service. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You and praise You for the privilege it is to meet together in this way this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are faithful to us. And in fact, Your faithfulness never changes. It's permanent. It's constant. And we thank You for that. And Lord, You've placed upon our own hearts the desire to be faithful to You. Lord, help us, we pray, to be faithful to You. Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit. We need You, Lord, to lead us, to fill us, and to keep working within us day by day, that we are faithful to what we should be faithful to, our loving Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, everything said of man, we pray You would take it away. Only the things of Yourself might remain. You, Lord, might have honor and glory. For we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Now may the God of peace, with the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us all now and forevermore. Amen.